Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. You know, one of the great things about this podcast is that I can talk about whatever I want. And I think the journey that people take through life, the journey is mysterious and fascinating. And here in Las Vegas, I've been able to meet many amazing people. And I thank my buddy Murray the Magician, you heard me interview him, for introducing me to one of the most successful showgirls in the entire world. Now, the world, think about that. Mm-hmm. Her name is Dani Elizabeth, and she has one heck of a resume in the entertainment industry in general, and she is currently the host of a super popular long-running show at Planet Hollywood here on the Vegas Strip called Crazy Girls. And you don't usually get to sit down and explore the mind of someone who has such talent and has worked so hard to become a big success on the Vegas Strip. So when I met her, I said, Dani, I've got to interview you. And you can learn more about her, actually, if you go to her Instagram feed. That's Dani_showgirl. And Dani is spelled D-A-N-I. And we'll talk to her more about how you can find out more about her later in the show. But anyway, it is such a pleasure to say, Dani, welcome to the show.
Hey, Josh. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you are an extremely busy person, and I can't even believe the schedule that you keep. So it's always tough to snatch a moment of your time. So, you know, there are so many things that we could discuss, but let's start with where you're from and that journey that took you to the Vegas Strip. What is the story there?
Well, I'm from upstate New York, so not New York City. Everybody's like, oh, you're from New York. I'm like, no, about 3 hours north of the city. So it's a little suburbia area, and the town's Niskayuna. I went to Niskayuna High School, Schenectady County is where I grew up. And I went to college. I ended up graduating with a degree in marketing and advertising. And I knew that I wanted to live on the West Coast. I knew that I was a sunshine baby, that I had to migrate to the West Coast. And, of course, there is Florida on the East Coast, but I also was not a fan of the 24/7 rain and humidity. It's not good for, you know, good hair days. So I took an internship on the West Coast. It brought me to LA and had never been before, but drove out to the West Coast in my PT Loser with my cat. And my internship turned into a job, and I was working at a marketing firm and still dancing. I danced my whole life. I grew up taking ballet at Ramsey School Ballet in Schenectady from the time I was 4 to 18. And then when I got to L.A., I was training. I'd drive 30 minutes after my 9-to-5 job and go train after work and take all sorts of ballet classes and stuff about 4 days a week. And then finally, when I was in L.A., I was laid off from the job because it was a small boutique firm and they were just moving in a different direction. So I decided that that was my opportunity to pursue a career in performing and dancing. And I was in my mid-20s then. And so most people, performers and dancers, have been doing it professionally since, you know, they were 18. So for me, it was a little intimidating at first because I felt like I was getting a late start. But I had a wonderful mentor, Jennifer Nairn Smith in LA, and I would walk her dogs for an hour early in the morning, and then in exchange, she would give me private lessons in ballet, and she trained with Bob Fosse and Balanchine. So her extent of dance and her knowledge and her career itself is just, it's a whole different podcast for you. But so then I started auditioning. And finally, about a year and a half into auditioning and working odd-end jobs, I landed a job I went to an audition for in Hollywood, and it was called Jubilee, and it was a show in Vegas, and all I knew about it was that it was the longest-running show in Vegas, and it was a showgirl production, and that's all I knew. And I got offered the job position, and within a month, even though I had just signed a new lease for a year-long apartment, a gorgeous apartment with a girlfriend of mine, I found somebody to sublease it and packed up my little PT Cruiser and came to Vegas. And I swore I would only be in Vegas for about 6 months, because at the time, those contracts were 6 months long. And I was like, who would move to Vegas? It's a desert. No one wants to live in a desert. And now I've been here for almost 6 years. So it has led from one thing to the next, and that's how I got to Vegas. Jubilee was amazing. It was a great experience.
My goodness. Okay, so, well, let's go back for a second to when you were 4 years old. What was that inspiration that got you into dancing at that early age? How did that happen?
Well, my mom always put us in everything athletic. She always was extremely athletic, and she went very far at a young age with gymnastics. She was very talented and used to compete. So I think my mom grew up as a tomboy, so for her it was very natural for her to throw us into all sorts of sports and physical activities. So when I was young, we started ballet, and my sister did as well, and even my brother. My mom convinced my brother that it would be good for his football training. That only lasted about a year. And then he was like, no, Mom, I'm not wearing tights. So I stuck with the ballet, and along with that, all throughout grade school, elementary school, middle school, I also did a bunch of other sports. So I would go to ballet 3 days a week after school, and then I would spend the other hours before ballet, because ballet always started at 5, school got out at like 2:30, 2:45. I would go to whatever after-school sport there was, and then from there I'd go to ballet class. Finally, when I got to about 8th grade, I had done basketball, soccer. I was on the swim team and diving team for about 8 years. My mom said, look, honey, you're going to high school now, and it's first of all, it's a different level in high school. And secondly, you can't do it all. So if you want to do one thing and you want to be really good at it, you have to choose that and practice that every day, not several different things. And so I remember being faced with this moment at a young age, loving all these different things I did, but really taking that advice from my mom seriously and having to pick and choose what was it that I actually wanted to pursue further. And it didn't take very long for me to decide that it was dance, because a part of me liked something that sports didn't bring to the table, which was the performing show-off part that ballet had offered for me.
And so did you always just feel comfortable on stage?
I guess to a certain extent, yes. But there's this interesting process that even to this day that I remember experiencing when I was a little kid. Before going on stage, I would get very anxious, almost anxiety, and stressed out. And I remember my mom telling me, like, it's okay, honey. You do this because you love it. Remember that. And that, to this day, that has always stuck with me. I have to remind myself, yes, I do this because I love it. So let's take it down a notch, calm down. But the adrenaline rush that I get from that moment before I get on stage, or I'm on stage and I find myself in a moment where I'm, okay, what's going to happen next? What do I do next? That's the part that I realized that I live for. I live for that adrenaline rush. I guess I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie in general. I like heights and roller coasters and all sorts of stuff like that. So I find that for me, live, and I consider performing on a stage in front of a live audience every night. It's like live theater. It's always different. The people in front of you are always different. The reactions are always going to be different. And so that is the exciting part for me.
When you're out there on stage, and those who have never been on stage may not realize this, but when you're on stage, often you can't really even see what's happening half the time because you have these bright lights in your face. And it can be very disorienting. When you actually get to that point where you're on stage and everybody's got their eyes on you, do you still have to think very consciously about what you're doing, or is it sort of just a natural instinct that kicks in and you start flowing with it?
Well, I guess I've got a couple answers to that. One is, on a stage, we have tape or marking. So when you're first learning a number and where you're supposed to be and what your blocking is for that number, you're paying attention to the markings on the stage, so you're lined up with them. And of course, they're downstage so that you can see them. But once the stage becomes so familiar and you do a show every single night, it's like getting up from your bed in the middle of the night in a pitch black room. You know where everything is. You don't need a light to be able to move down the hallway to get a glass of water because you know it like the back of your hand.
And so when you went to that audition for Jubilee, I mean, I imagine most people would be a nervous wreck about to go out and audition for a show like that. You obviously did very well. What do you think was the key? I mean, so many people want to be in a role like that. And how do you think that, you know, you were able to stand out and really nail that?
For me personally, I think a lot of it, well, first of all, I got to the point because, yes, I was. For that particular audition, I was a nervous wreck because it was the very last month of the time frame that I gave myself for about 8 months to go audition for different random things. And then I told myself, if I don't land any of these jobs that I truly want in the realm of performing, then I'm going to sit down and go back to my drawing board and figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. So that particular audition was at the end of my time frame. And I decided that the best thing for me was to completely let go. And I know that sounds kind of cliche and easier said than done, but I gave myself a list of everything that I knew that I had control over. So my diet, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, working out, warming up properly before the audition, having the right leotard, having my hair and makeup done, doing my research to know what look that they're looking for, because auditions aren't just about talent. It's about the look, your hair color, the style, you know, the flair that you bring, your personality. They want to see your personality in an audition to see if that personality is the right personality for that particular show. So I did all of those things. I researched. I slept. I really held myself to a very strict standard about 2 months prior to the audition. And then when it came down to it, I went to my mentor for a little pep talk. She's amazing. And then I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do this and have fun and say that, you know, I did it. I knew that I was deserving of the job, but I had to show them that I was deserving of the job. And the only way to do that is to be your best. And I knew I had to get out of my head and just show them what I could do. And, of course, I had some fumbles. I was so, so nervous. But it was enough to get me through and get me the job. So.
And now you are the host of Crazy Girls, right?
I am. I really am.
So what? And tell everybody what Crazy Girls is and how you became the host of this popular show.
So Crazy Girls has been a really great experience to be a part of as well because we are now about to go on 31 years the show has been on the Strip. And Jubilee closed at 34 years. So that was a big deal because Jubilee was one of the longest running shows on the Vegas Strip. And now I'm working full time and one of the second longest running shows on the Vegas Strip. And the neat thing about Crazy Girls is that Crazy Girls is also the longest running burlesque show in America, which is huge. So I get to be a part of this, you know, this history, yet I have been given the opportunity, thanks to Naber Alaman, who's the producer of Crazy Girls, to host the show. And that didn't exist. When I came into the show, there wasn't a female host. So he worked with me, and I did some research on my own and tried to take some of my writing skills from my college days and marketing days and put those together and had some really great friends that I called on to brainstorm with and came up with about 15 minutes of material. And I host throughout the show, and now I have like a 12-minute intermission where I come out and get to do a little comedy and interact with the audience. And honestly, that's my favorite part because even though it's nerve-wracking because you never know what the audience is going to do or say, to me it keeps it fresh and exciting and kind of like keeps my brain going every time I go in. I can't go on autopilot. That doesn't exist. If I did, then I probably would be in big trouble.
I can see why that your experience in marketing was very valuable in, you know, literally creating and forming this role. And I, when you get out there on stage and you are sort of spontaneously interacting with the audience, you know, let's just get real. This is Vegas. Sometimes there are, I'm sure, obnoxious drunks in the audience. How do you deal with people like that?
It depends. I mean, honestly, it's about feeling out the situation. You know, I have a couple go-tos, and as I've been doing this now for several months, I'm learning as I go. I feel that every night is a fantastic learning experience. So I have a couple go-tos, a couple lines that I might say to shut it down a little bit, you know, to be cutesy with them and not too aggressive. And then if it gets to a different level, then it might be a little more aggressive, but still fun and familiar. And it just really depends. And that's what I love about it, is that there's no right, there's no wrong. It's just finding what feels good with the energy of the room.
So now there are a lot of people out in our world today who just, they can't imagine having literally the physical and mental energy to do what you do on such a regular basis. So what is a typical day like for you? What sort of routine are you in? And what advice can you give to people who want to learn about how to keep that level of energy?
Definitely, which I know sounds like the obvious, but it's taking care of yourself and being good to yourself, which I don't always do. I like to tell people that sleep is huge, but that's probably something that I struggle the most with. But when I do get my 8 to 9 hours, which I don't know how people can survive constantly on 5 hours, that just blows my mind, because I physically can't operate. My muscles don't heal well. I don't have a lot of stamina. My workouts suffer. But then it's my brain. My brain doesn't feel sharp. And you can't get in front of an audience and speak openly and ask questions and have really quick comebacks if your brain is moving slow. So for me, sleep is huge. And then obviously, like, a balanced diet, whatever that might be. Everybody's got their own thing, whether you are a meat eater, or you're vegan, or you're gluten-free, or you eat anything under the sun, but whatever works for you and keeps you feeling strong and healthy. I say, you know, props to you. If anyone has a secret where you can eat donuts all day long and feel great, I'd love to know that, but I haven't figured that one out yet. And honestly, I'd also say the working out for me is, it's kind of really taken my performance to a different level, because, and not so much like the physical stamina, but what it does to my body in the process of, like, when I wake up, which usually is around 10:30, 11 a.m., and I know that's a lot later for most people, but I also don't go to sleep till 3, 4 in the morning, and that's because I get home late at night and then do all of my things to wind down. But the first thing I have to do is go work out. And that kind of helps set my body tone for the day. So when I go into work at night, if I only have 20 minutes to warm up, it's okay, because I can do that in 20 minutes because my body has already been warmed up earlier in the day. And normally I don't stop. I'm not a nap taker. So once I'm up for the day, I'm nonstop and I keep going.
Well,
so
what is your particular diet? You know, what do you what are the tips and the guidelines that you must use in order to keep yourself feeling good and energetic?
So for me, I've tried everything under the sun, because my mom's 100% Italian and my dad's 100% Irish. So my mom, growing up with her, she did all the cooking, and it was always very, like, meat-oriented, pastas, heavy things. And I remember even being in high school, and I was dancing all the time, still feeling like my body, something didn't feel right, and my weight would fluctuate, and I'd never had, like, an even amount of sustained energy. So I went through periods where I went 100% vegan, and then I tried raw food, and all those things were great, but the thing that I have now been consistent with, not just like a 4, 5, 6 month process for the past several years, is I don't eat dairy, and I've had somebody recently try to convince me to bring eggs back into my diet, but I stay away from eggs. I don't do dairy. I don't do meat other than fish. So I guess you could say vegan with a side of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's been really working well for me.
Well, because, you know, I'm imagining right now that most people who are listening to this, they work a job where if they wake up and they've got a cold or whatever, they can pick up the phone and say, oh, sorry, I can't make it in today. But if you do that, that's a big disaster. So, but you do you have those days? Surely you do. I mean, surely there are days.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, without being TMI, but I guess, you know, it's very likely to my style to be TMI, so I'll go there a little bit. But I work 6 nights a week, and I have one day off Wednesdays for the show that I currently work in. And now with my current job position, I am a dancer in the show, but I also host the show. And I don't have a backup. There's no one else that can come in and host it. We recently, I was allowed, I'm doing air quotes, allowed to take one day off this past year, and we had a Lefty from Marie's show come in, and he filled in intermission part and did his act, so that was really great, but you know, we've had some cast changeovers and stuff, so I'm back to not being able to take a day off until things kind of even out a little bit, but when those moments come and you know, you wake up and you're feeling sick. Now, the nice part about entertainment is that you have about, from the time you wake up until showtime, at least with my schedule, I have about 8 to 9 hours to figure it out. So, you know, I take all the vitamin C, I go sit in the sauna, sweat it out. You know, that brings you from zero back up to like 50, 60% a little bit. So that does help. But there have been plenty of times that myself and lots of other dancers that I've seen or performers, you're feeling sick, you have to run to the bathroom, take care of it, go back on stage, and then, you know, that happens through every other number. You're just throwing up in the bathroom and going back, and just you have to get through it. So that's why for me in my job position currently, I try my hardest to really try to stay healthy because I've also gotten to the point where I've almost lost my voice. But because it's a burlesque show, I'm supposed to have a little bit of a sultry undertone in my voice. So I've lost my voice before, and I've gotten on stage, and, you know, everyone's like, well, Danny, you just sound more sexy now because you have no voice. Well, good. I'm glad it worked for me then. I guess we're going to go with that.
Well, you know, when it comes to the significance and the importance of staying healthy, and not only healthy, but I mean, really, you know, you are at a level that exceeds the average person's physical and mental aptitudes. There are some people out there who say, look, you need to sanitize all the time. Wash your hands before you do anything. Don't shake people's hands. And then there are people who say the opposite, like, no. If you do that, you're going to be more vulnerable to germs when you encounter them. What's your philosophy on the amount that people should sort of wash their hands and the precautions you should take to stay healthy?
Well, I mean, I know there's all sorts of controversy. I'm no doctor, so I'm only to my own opinion. But I know that I am a healthy person. So if you're a healthy person, you have a stronger immune system. And a lot of times all the products that we use, if we overuse them, which is a possibility. There is, you know, always recommended amounts of using things. But if you overuse things, I just think that kills off the natural, you know, antibodies that your body produces in order to protect itself. So I'm always one to, you know, get in the dirt and get dirty. And if somebody's sick around me, as long as I'm being healthy and, you know, as long as they're not sneezing in my face, I feel that I can still be protected and safe. And I might go home and take an extra vitamin C when I get home and make sure that I'm, you know, treating myself kindly and you know, the sense of sleeping and eating and health and all that. Because the reality of it is that when you're in a small room with your castmates, however that, you know, if there's 6 or 12 people and somebody's sick, because when you're a performer, if you don't come to the show, there's very few jobs out there as a performer that if you're not working that night, then you don't get paid. So people work sick all the time. And even those that have the option, unlike myself at the moment, to take a sick day or take a day off, they still, you know, want to make sure that they're getting paid. So they have to come into work. So we have some people in our show that will come in and say, guys, I have a tickle in my throat. I've been sneezing all day. I brought my hand sanitizer. Just wanted to let you know, just kind of, I'm going to stay in my bubble. And I'm lucky and fortunate enough to work with a great group of women that are respectful and open and just amazing people to be around. But I honestly feel that, you know, if you're sick, you don't need to go around and clean off everything. I mean, think about little infants that are brought into the world. You know, they're around germs all the time. And, yes, they get sick every once in a while. But our bodies are very resilient as long as you take care of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, so vitamin C is a real key, huh? That's
I'm a firm believer in vitamin C. I love vitamin C. L-lysine is great for the immune system. There's a bunch of things that I like. And sometimes I'll swap things in and out and try different things and see how my body reacts to it. But vitamin C, you just can't go wrong with it.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, it's amazing to talk to someone like you who actually puts all of this health stuff into practical use for a reason that has so many stakes, you know, that has so much weight. But, well, okay, when you meet somebody during those rare free times that you have, you meet a new person in a restaurant or whatever, and that person says, "What? You're a showgirl? Oh, wow. Tell me a story, you know, tell me something crazy that's happened to you." Is there some kind of a go-to story that pops into your mind that you love to tell people about that sort of captures some of what you, maybe even the humor or the unexpected element that you're dealing with?
I don't know. I feel like there's probably a million different little stories. one story that I love from the last show that I was in, we did two shows a night, and we had a staircase, a giant ballroom staircase on stage, and it was hundreds of stairs, and it was part of the grand finale, and we'd go down in these showgirl costumes, and the costumes sometimes would weigh the headdresses, the hats, the headpieces were 20, 25 pounds, so you can't drop your chin to look down. Sorry, I apologize.
Those are the show dogs.
Yes. Murray's dogs are here right now. It's okay, Bill. But so when you're going down the stairs, you can't drop your chin to see the stairs in front of you. So you just have to know how far that step is. And not to mention there's several girls in front of you, and there's also several girls behind you. So one particular time, I was going down the stairs, and the girl in front of me, her skirt that she had on, it just came loose, and it dropped to her feet. But she couldn't look down, but she felt it around her ankles, as she still has about another 30 stairs to go down. So I'm like, oh, boy, I see the skirt. I see her. I don't know what's going to happen, but everyone's moving in a line. It's like a slow-moving train down hundreds of stairs. And she ended up keeping her chin up and bent down with her chin and her headpiece still on, grabbed it with her hand, held it in front of her to cover up everything, and she moved off the stage. But I remember that like it was just yesterday. And, you know, we're on stage, and, of course, we saw that she was okay. She didn't trip down the stairs, and that has happened too, and that's a little bit more serious. But, you know, then we're on stage trying to be beautiful in these gorgeous Swarovski-filled costumes and feathers and all sorts of stuff, and we're trying not to laugh, and so that was just a funny moment.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, most people never encounter those types of scenarios in life. It reminds me of people who make movies and TV shows. They have an excuse to go out and, you know, blow up some car and get into a bar brawl and, you know, do all these things. And it may not be real, it's show business, but still, I mean, it's as close as most people ever get to it. And so, bearing all that in mind, whether it's positive or negative, what do you think would surprise most people the most about what it is to be a Vegas showgirl?
I think for most people, and maybe it's an obvious, but A lot of shows, at least the two shows, I used to swing another show, and that was only 4 nights a week. But the two shows that I've been full time in are 6 nights a week. And I think that's where people are like, what? You work 6 nights a week? And the first show I was in, yes, we were there for about 6.5 hours. So, you know, that's like 6.5 hours of your day. But now the current show that I'm in, we do one show a night. So I have to be in at 8:30 and I'm done by 11. And then people are like, oh, you're only there for 2 hours. For 2.5 hours. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, but wait, but you still have to do that every night? Wait, and you're hosting, right? And that, and you know, some people get it that you have to be on. It doesn't matter if you're sick. It doesn't matter if you're in a bad mood. It doesn't matter if, you know, you pulled your left hamstring or, your car broke down that day. It doesn't matter. You have to check your junk at the door and go in and do every show like it's your first show or most amazing show, because the people that are sitting in that audience, most of them are seeing it for the first time, and that's the thing that matters most.
Yeah, I think a good way of also looking at it from my point of view is I have a background in professional radio, and if you have a show that's, you know, like a live radio show that lasts 3 hours, people go, oh, well, that's not so bad. You work 3 hours a day and you get paid this amount. Well, the reality is, if your show's any good, you're going to put maybe 2 to 3 hours of prep into every hour that is good on the air. So it's easy for people not to see what's below the surface, you know, to just look at the finished product there. And, you know, but bearing in mind how much hard work this is, and now seeing what, you know, the business of show business in Vegas is all about, how do you envision your next 10 years?
Oh, I think about that all the time. Well, since I've been in show business, I also went back to school for massage therapy, which has been very exciting for me while being in show business, because I get to work on all different types of performers and athletes, and I love that because I love healing and fixing the body, and I went through a couple of serious injuries while I was at Jubilee, my first show, and they put me out, and like I told you before, when you're out because of anything, including an injury, you're not making your paycheck. So for me, you know, when I get an injured performer come to me and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to analyze the body. It becomes a science project. I'm going to fix this because we've got to get you back on stage because that's what you love to do and that's also your income. So I do massage therapy and I do have my background in marketing and advertising, but I also I am in complete love with show business and everything about it. Especially since the past 6 years I've been working in Vegas professionally and a couple of different shows. I love behind the scenes. I love being on stage. I love the business, the marketing aspect of shows. I also, at the end of Jubilee, joined the union out here, the theater union, Local 720. And that's given me an opportunity to take some stagehand calls and work behind scenes and operate things from a different perspective in show business. So I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, my dream would be to have my own show someday, but I do know that no matter what it is, I need to be involved in show business somehow, some way, because it gets me going. It really does.
Well, you know, given your practical and extremely well-rounded success in this business, it seems to me like you would be a great producer of some kind of a show in Vegas someday. Have you ever thought about that? Anything come to mind?
I have. I talk about that, especially, producing or directing, you know, creating a show, but I'm just also very interested in the next 10 years to see what the show business lifestyle is in Vegas, because it's changed so much in the past decade or two. but I could see myself working for, you know, as an entertainment director with one of the major casinos out here and helping choosing the shows that come in. I've thought about a bunch of different options, and as the time gets closer, I feel that I'm a true believer in the universe always pushing me in the right direction as long as I'm open to it, which I definitely am.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean by that. So, well, obviously, there are people who are listening to this who may be learning about you for the very first time. So please take the time to tell everyone how they can follow you through social media, how they can come see you on stage when they're in Vegas. You know, anything you want to promote, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, I post a lot on my Instagram. And I do stories on there as well, so you can kind of follow my day-to-day. And that's, like you said earlier, at Danny_showgirl. And then I also have a Facebook account that you can follow me on, and that's Danny Elizabeth. And then you can come see me at my show, which is Crazy Girls. It's at Planet Hollywood in the Sin City Theater. And our shows are nightly at 9:30 p.m. every night except for Wednesday. And, yeah, if you end up coming to see our show, stop by. We take pictures with fans after the show in front of the theater. So please come say hi to me because I'd love that. I always love when people stop by and say, oh, I remember you, or we talked, or I heard you on Joshua's podcast.
And I want to remind everyone that Danny is spelled D-A-N-I. And like she said, Instagram, for example, is at Danny, D-A-N-I underscore showgirl.com. You know, Danny, when my wife, Lauren, first met you, she said that she was she felt a little odd because she follows your Instagram on a daily basis, and she knew so much more about you than you knew about her.
So that
ought to give people an idea of just you know, how many wonderful images that you put out there to demonstrate this almost.
Oh, I love Lauren. She's amazing.
Yeah, your life is, it's like a fantasy life. But, well, unfortunately, the clock has got us. But, you know, Danny, I tell you, this has been fascinating. You are a truly exceptional person who has risen to the cream of the crop in an extremely competitive crop. So I am honored to call you a friend, and I know you're going to just continue having unbelievable success, and I sincerely thank you for taking the time to be on Joshua P. Warren Daily.
Thank you so much, Josh. It's been so lovely getting to know you, and I look forward to more outings.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for saying that. So, folks, there you have it. I will post messages about how to contact Danny and, you know, how to, if you're confused or you need a reminder on the links or social media, just follow me on Twitter at Joshua P. Warren. I'll tweet that information out and I'll send it out through other ways as well. So that's it for this edition of the podcast, and I will talk to you again soon.